Hello, and welcome to Gen X, Y, and I, a conversation with generations of positive people, featuring Real World Dar.
Still positive.
Millennial Chris, positive as well. Generation Z Connor.
I'm trying my best.
And not so silent Bob.
Still not so silent.
We'll make you laugh, we'll make you think, and we'll always end on a happy note. This episode is brought to you in part by Breakwater Federal Credit Union in Houghton, Michigan. They have a special offer for our listeners. Come in for a consumer loan, mention this podcast, and they will waive the $100 processing fee. Limit one per person, membership required, and all loans are subject to credit approval. On today's episode, we're talking about how did you learn to cook, assuming you can.
All right, so we have Gen Z Connor with us, second year student here at Michigan Tech. Welcome, Connor.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Yeah.
I was wondering if when you were talking about being positive, does that have anything to do with cooking?
Oh. You'll find out soon, Bob. Connor, are you going to open us up on this one?
Sure, I'd love to open up this can of sauce for you.
Oh, sauce. Oh, wow.
He's getting saucy already.
Saucy. Exactly.
It's better than a can of... Never mind, I can't say that.
Please don't. So I learned to cook in a variety of different ways, Okay. Ironically. I live in a divorce house, and then all my parents, they also have divorced parents, so I have all of the different sides of the family to learn from.
Okay.
And I learned quite simply by cooking with them. I started with dad. I learned I think my first dish was to make nachos, and I
cooked
the meat. And well, okay, dish.
It's a dish.
It's fair. It's fair. It can be a meal.
Yeah, well, it's simple, easy thing to start a young person on cooking.
How old were you?
Like 10.
Okay.
I started young.
Okay.
Young, relatively. So I was just learning with dad. And as time went on and I learned more things, I eventually ended up there were some dinners where dad was busy with work. And I had the siblings to help cook for. Mom was working in Saginaw, hour south of where we were living at the time. So I had these kids to cook for, and dad was working, so I just would cook for them.
How many siblings?
I am the eldest of four.
Okay.
Yep.
So three other siblings under you.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And I just took it from there, and then I'd learn from my mom and my grandparents and then my aunts at some points, and my skills are an amalgam of all of these different perspectives and ideals on cooking.
So you mix things up and come up with new creative
things? Yes, I do, actually.
Usually liked, or people go, yuck?
Oh, typically, my cooking's well-loved. I've done several dishes for my friend group up here.
I need some proof on that.
Yeah, I think we all do.
Don't worry, Dar. I'll probably bring you some proof at some point.
I can't wait.
I make a lot of soups and chilies and whatnot, so I guess I'm going to have to participate in the Honors Chili Cook-Off here.
Yeah, we got a chili cook-off coming up.
I'm going to have to remember when that is.
And I'll let you know.
And my friends all have raved over. My family does. My aunt can't wait for me to get back home because I guess I have to go cook for her now.
What's your best? What's your favorite dish?
I really like making zuppa toscana.
Okay. Bougie.
Italian soup.
Yeah.
Bougie, but really simple to make once you know how to make it. Okay. I cook without a book.
By inspiration.
I ad-lib my cooking.
A dash of this, a little bit of that. Yep.
I cook
to
with
taste.
My soul.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, my grandmother was the same way.
I cook with my taste, my smell, my sight, my hands.
Your taste.
My taste. Did I mention taste yet? But that's how I learned. I learned in a very different way.
Okay. All right. Bob, you want to go?
Sure. I'll go next. Right. I still like cooking some. My wife does most of the cooking in the house. And I ended up cooking by necessity. I didn't know how to cook until I got to college. And I got really sick of Dinty Moore beef stew. Matter of fact, I got a sale on that stuff, and I think I had a couple of cases I bought because I was also poor.
Mm.
And oh my God, was I sick of the stuff.
I can only imagine. But you can't smell it now, huh?
No, I don't want anything to do with any, even stew. I don't like chop suey. I don't like anything that looks like stew.
Okay.
Oh, so,
like chili too?
I like chili.
Okay. Okay.
I like chili. Yes.
Okay.
And you know, I've even doctored up the. I like making, being creative with the stuff now. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the fun things I like doing. So. I think what I finally started doing, some of this came out of college, is like one of the things that I could buy cheaply was pork steak.
Right.
But if you've ever cooked pork steak, at least the way I was doing it, it was really dry.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking of ways to make the pork steak more moist, and I came up with this idea of basically cooking the pork steaks, getting them like, you know, pretty well done,
mm-hmm.
and then pouring cream-style corn on top of them and kind of let them take the grease out, of course, and then put that on it. It stayed moist. It added a little bit of sweetness to it.
Huh.
To this day, it's still one of my specialties.
All right. What do you call it?
Pork and cream style corn. Yes, that's exactly. It's called, cream corn pork steak.
Okay. That sounds bougie. Yeah.
Then I got a couple other ones that I've come up with. I do all the one thing I do for Thanksgiving and sometimes Christmas also is I make the turkey.
Okay.
And I do the bag, if you know what that mm-hmm. is. You buy this bag. It's so much easier. You don't have to baste it. You don't have to screw around with it. You just put it in the bag. Getting in the bag is fun sometimes, especially mm-hmm. if you got a 20-some pound turkey.
Oh, my gosh.
But the one thing that is especially, and this came from my grandparents and my mom and like down the line, is we stuff the bird.
Mm-hmm.
But we stuff it with sort of a meat bread stuffing. It's almost like a meatloaf with extra bread. And I did the extra bread because my wife was more used to the bread stuffing.
Yeah.
Which I always told her, it wasn't stuffing unless you stuff it.
Oh.
So it's dressing if you don't stuff it.
Yeah.
Right.
But most people still call it stuffing.
Yeah.
We always called it dressing.
Yep.
In our house.
Too.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
And the blending of the turkey with the meat stuffing changes the flavor of both. It's meatloaf, but not like meatloaf you're ever going to have.
Is it beef?
It's a mixture of beef, pork, together, because you have to have a little bit of pork to moisten up the meat.
Yeah, for sure.
And then a lot of bread and poultry seasoning and salt and pepper.
I was just wondering about the
onions,
meats.
Cooked onions, things like that.
You know, a few ingredients off from a pasty.
Right.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. Exactly. You're so right.
Just the casing.
A little bit of
rutabaga.
Rutabaga, yep.
Yeah.
And then the latest thing that I've come up with that is really a healthy thing, and because I'm looking for healthy at my age, I want to live a little longer, is something called fruit and nut oatmeal bake. And it's really not baked, but it sounds better than, say, microwave.
Okay.
So it's basically a bunch of oatmeal, all kinds of fruit, whatever we have in the refrigerator. It's a lot of times frozen. A little bit of sweetener in there, then also some trail mix if I haven't, maybe chop up some nuts and throw it in there. But I mean, it's got usually two or three different kinds of fruit. It's got the fiber. I also throw some Metamucil in it, which helps it to stick together and gives you a little bit more fiber.
And it keeps you regular.
Sometimes I'll throw in a little bit of powdered protein in there. But okay. I mean, it tastes great. I put it in a baking pan, but it's all in a microwave. Do everything in a microwave. So it takes me about half an hour to do it. And then I divide it up into 16 pieces. Each piece is 150 calories.
He's done all the calculations.
Yeah, so that's my latest big thing. The thing that nobody seems to like but me that I've invented has to do with cottage cheese. I love mixing things with cottage cheese, like onions and mayonnaise and cottage cheese with some seeds.
Nope. Okay. Uh-huh. Nope. So I have not thought of that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That's one way to put it, Connor.
Yeah. Interesting.
And everybody's always had cottage cheese with fruit, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my mom and my grandmother, but I was never a believer in it, but I've seen it. I've seen it done before. Mm-hmm.
Well, I better shut up.
No. Huh?
You haven't done tomato cottage cheese?
No. I'm not a...
It's great.
Well, I won't say, but yeah. Mayo, white stuff, I just steer away from it. I don't know. It's just psychological. Milk.
Okay. I can't do milk either.
Yeah.
I can understand.
Yeah. What you got, Chris?
I'm kind of the opposite of Connor, I feel like. I took a long time for me to learn how to cook.
Okay.
I was taught certain basic things, but like I still remember one of my childhood friends just looking at me in disbelief when we were kids when I asked him, like, so what's the, how do you make a tuna salad? Where you just, you know, some tuna, some mayo, some noodles, and, a little bit of relish, but like, what's the ratios? But like,
yeah.
I'm a very technical sort of person. I'm not a very creative person when it comes to cooking.
Yeah, the specific recipe.
Yeah, it needs to be specific. So that means like I can do scones really well, or like one of my specialty dishes.
Oh, really? Yeah, I love scones.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to bring you some. I have a good recipe. Okay. Chocolate chip, if you're okay with
that. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
Sounds
yeah.
great.
So we're making each other hungry here.
One of these days. But like I'm a very technical cooker, so like if I have a recipe that's very precise, I can do it.
Okay.
And so like my specialty dishes have become things like a scone recipe I was given, or one thing that I'm really known for is smoked candied salmon.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
That sounds good. Really good.
Yeah. It is. It's really tasty.
What makes it smoked?
I smoke it in a smoker.
Wow.
So I brine it. I brine it, and then I smoke it, and then I baste it with maple syrup.
Oh, wow. Mm. Yeah.
By the way, are your scones crispy on the outside and soft on the inside?
No, not so crispy on the outside. They're a little bit more...
like soft all around.
Yeah, a little bit more soft. They're a little bit harder on the outside, but nice and fluffy on the inside if I do it right. I just need to be in the regular practice. I got a new oven and I'm still not quite used to it yet.
Oh, yeah,
but the oven's dead right now, so.
No.
Jeez.
The range still works.
Oh.
So that's what I've been doing lately. It's just only range stuff.
Okay.
As I'm waiting for the warranty claim.
It's coming, Chris.
It's warranty. Only 6 months. It's only 6 months old, so it's not me.
Ooh.
That's ridiculous. So
that's not you.
Yeah.
You should have a time limit to return that baby. That's 6 months
out. It's outside of it.
Oh, boy.
Unfortunately.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
All right. So the question is, how did you learn to cook, assuming you can? And my answer is I didn't.
Oh.
Sort of.
Oh.
So
please elaborate.
I grew up in a household, if you listen to previous podcasts, my grandmother was the cooker in the house. And so I never had to learn because she did it all. And even in my singleness, I cooked, but not really because it was just me. But it really ramped up when Derek came into my life. And so I knew I could, but I didn't really have the necessity to do it, not on like, you know, on a regular basis.
Does Derek cook?
He does. Yes.
Oh, there, good.
He
safe.
Has all kind of specialties and, like grilling, I don't even have to worry about that ever. And so there are certain things that he does, and I just stay out of his way. But I didn't know I had it in me because I just never really leveraged the skills. And in retrospect, I regret that I did not spend that time with my grandmother because I've recreated her chili recipe and her greens recipe and things like that, but and I still haven't mastered. She used to make amazing rolls, and so I wish I would have spent more time, but now I document everything because of the legacy of it. And so I have a big juicy cookbook of things that I've made just for the next generation that I could pass on, because that was the one regret. I wish that we would have documented my grandmother's recipe. So I learned by default, but I think it's genetic. I do pretty good with cooking, so I think I got my granny's genes somehow. So
I envy that.
Yeah.
I need a recipe.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to start with something. I'm not creative when it comes
but
to
I'm
it.
Like Connor. I can just kind of
flow. I'm an engineering major here at Tech, and that's the one thing I can't engineer. I can't chemistry my cooking.
Yeah.
My cooking is cooking. It's an art. That's why I don't bake.
Well,
I think baking.
I think our happy note is get in the kitchen, y'all.
Exactly.
And ask for the recipes for, you know, your generation, your parents and grandparents. If they're still alive, get those recipes documented. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Please consider joining our newsletter for the most up-to-date information by emailing genxyandi@gmail.com. Also, let us know what you think of the episode and if there's anything you'd like us to discuss. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Apple Podcast, Audioboom, or your podcast platform of choice. Thanks again to our wonderful sponsors, REO Acoustics and Breakwater Federal Credit Union.